this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Elite Pool Covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
So we're currently in the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it goes all the way to the 10th of December, which is Human Rights Day. And in this time, everybody's trying to find answers and trying to raise awareness on how we can stop domestic violence and family-based violence, because it's just such a scourge on our society and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And so we've invited Azaleen in to share a story with us. Thanks for coming, Azaleen.
Hi, Kimber. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Can you share a bit of your background for us?
Today I'm a counsellor and a social worker, but my journey started off very rough. By the time I was about 16, I was quite a strong-willed teenager, and I met, the year I turned 17, my first boyfriend, fell head over heels in love. He was amazing. It was almost like, you know, the prince and the white horse came to rescue the girl at the end of the day. But what I didn't realize was that first year I went through a grooming process. Now, I'm 2 years from 50, and if people are my age and they think back to those days, nobody talked about domestic violence. It was a hush-hush situation. I got caught up in that relationship. I was in the relationship for 3.5 years, and I was almost killed twice in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I was at gunpoint a year before I left that relationship, where he actually pulled the trigger. Bullet went off, missed my face by 10 centimeters. It was so close that I was able to feel the cement particles. And after that, I went back for another year.
Wow. And okay. So obviously the question that gets asked in this situation is why, as someone who clearly had good, strong role models as parents, and presumably, I mean, did they know what was going on? How did you find yourself stuck in that place for those many years?
I found myself stuck because I didn't talk about it. Uh-huh. For me, it was guilt, shame and fear why I stayed in that relationship. And it's one of the things that I always say is when people ask me, why did I stay? I do love answering that question, because as an advocate, I do believe people ask that question because they really don't understand why people stay and why they get caught up in that relationship. And the only way we can make them understand is to educate them around what it is for me and what it is for the other person, because everybody's story will be different. Some people will stay because of the kids. Other people will stay because of finances. Mm. But we need to talk about those things to make people understand. For me, it was, I didn't talk about that. And like I say, the grooming phase that I didn't realize what was going on. By the time I realized something was going on, I was so caught up into this. I was isolated from friends and family, and it was almost too late.
Did the people around you, you know, you say you were isolated from friends and family. Did the people around you notice anything over the course of that relationship and ever try to reach out to you to say, we feel something's wrong here?
Interesting enough, myself and my sister actually work together, and we're very close. She's 6 years older than I am. And when I went through my relationship, I would end up with blue marks, and she would ask me, you know, what happened to you? I was a good liar back then, because I didn't want to talk about what was going on. I would say to her, I walked into the cupboard, or I fell off the stairs and so forth. So I placed reasons for what happened to me in her mind. She never really asked me, is there something happening in your relationship? And like I said, it's not things that we knew about. I don't even think she knew about, you know, domestic violence back then. So she never asked me the straightforward question. The night I escaped the relationship, the previous night we actually had an incident, and he grabbed me by my arm, and I went to work the next day with a very bad bruise on my arm. And it was that Friday when I left work, when I walked out, when Ronelle actually stopped me. And she looked me straight in the eyes and she said to me, if you ever need me, I'm there for you. And I realized, without even talking to her about it, that she knew that there was something going on between me and my partner. I escaped that evening, and after I went to the police station, she was the first person that I called. And it was interesting, because when she picked up the phone, her first words were, where are you? Not who's on the phone or hello, or her first words, where are you?
Wow.
And I think too, in answer to your question, Pete, part of it is that this can happen to anybody. And I know that in through education, when I was growing up, it was kind of sold to me that domestic violence happened to women who were from low socioeconomic areas, by men who were from low socioeconomic areas. And that's just not the truth.
No.
And what happens is there are a lot of men in really high influential positions who are very charming and very charismatic, who give off a public persona that they are a very good man. And as a result, people on the outside often don't realise that there's something happening to you, or that you're being isolated from friends, or that you might be changing, because they don't anticipate it from that person. And those men can be so charming and delightful that, you know, you hear horrific stories of they can be in the middle of beating their wives and then go and answer the front door and be completely normal and go, oh, no worries, no, not today, thanks for that, shut the door and go back to beating their wives.
Yeah.
And so people don't recognise those behaviours because they are hidden, they do happen in private, and because the women are unable to speak out.
Yeah.
Sorry if this question, I know what it is that I'm trying to ask, but did you know what was happening to you at the time?
The first year, no, because the first year was very subtle. It started off with things that he would say to me. It was also, I was not sexually active in that first year, and he made me feel that he respected me. And after I lost my virginity and I gave consent, and I thought I gave consent, but I actually only realized later on that I was in my mid-teens and he was already 23. So it was also actually sexual abuse, sure, what happened. But after we got into a sexual relationship, he would say nasty things to me like, you will never be able to leave me because no man wants a secondhand girl like you. And that's where it started. So it started off with that emotional abuse, things that he would say, and that started escalating later on into, like I always say, little bumps here and little slaps there. And when that happened, he always made me feel that I deserved what was going on. Mm. You know, we'll walk out through a door and he will bump me so I can bump into the doorframe.
Yeah.
It was very subtle things, the way it started getting more and more and more, up until the point where he literally physically started grabbing me by my throat, throwing me against the wall, pulled me by my hair and so forth.
But they're all just an indication of I've got physical power over you.
And I mean, if you think it's not just physical, emotional, mental, physiological. Yeah. Relationships always start off with people in love.
Yes.
They like each other.
Yes.
It doesn't start off abusive. So there's definitely a grooming phase that they go through.
Yes.
Mm. Well, we certainly need to make changes, and as much as everybody is trying and there's a lot of people on the ground trying to change it, what's something that we can do now that can help people?
Well, education is definitely, for me, it's important. It's getting to the young people. For me, it is really important to acknowledge that domestic violence does happen to anybody. It happens to men, women, children, LGBTQ+ communities, Aboriginal communities. But it is teaching young people the right skills and the right, you know, language, and to be kinder with each other. And I think that is where my involvement with Patricia Giles and the campaign they've got going on is something really close to my heart, because it's all about kindness and support.
And this program, this is the Just Cause campaign. You can go to justcause.com.au, and it's all about trying to stop that violence before it occurs and through education. So we want to thank you so much, Azaleen, for sharing your story, because we know it's never easy. It doesn't matter how much time passes. It's very confronting to have to talk about it, but we need to in order to help the people who are going through it. So we really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover. Fix 94.5.